Hello, welcome to episode 2. So soon, nothing's even happened in the world of fantasy. Save for Cardiff versus Wolves, which I've missed the entire game because I was out on a messy work Christmas party. I don't get out very often these days. So yeah, pretty hungover this morning. I don't know whether that shows that I'm dedicated to this or I'm incredibly sad. Let's go with the dedication. It's always how you put a spin on these things, right? Yeah, I'm dedicated. That's what I'll tell myself. That's what I'll stick to. Right, what to talk about then? I'm going to talk to you about some of my favourite players in the league. Not necessarily translated into fantasy. I think these are some of the best players in the league. But yeah, more just really my favourite ones. And before we get to that, just a little bit about how my love for football even sort of got started, really. Or why, I should say, my love for supporting my team, Man United, drifted away. Because I'm basically a Glory supporter, is the bottom line. But yeah, let's get into it then. Fairly easy. Okay, so the reason I support Man United, or supported, I guess you could say, despite living in Bedford, which is probably about 4 hours away from Manchester, is that when I was about 6 or 7, I had a mate who lived near me, who, a couple of years older, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And basically, he turned around to me one day and said, "I support Man United, they're the best team ever, who do you support?" And of course, my instant reply was, "Yeah, Man United, me too, they're great." To my dad's devastation as an Aston Villa fan. And that was the moment. So I'm quite happy he picked that team, to be honest with you, because that was obviously at a time when Man United were fantastic and it was pretty good at school, although virtually everyone I knew supported Man United. But at least you didn't get bullied for supporting any rubbish team. I just hate to think if he'd have supported someone else, much less good, it might not be as fun. But there we go. That's why I loved it. Obviously, it grew from there, actually watching it. I used to really be into it, supporting my team, I mean. I mean, I've been to Manchester United's ground probably only about 15, 20 times, like in total in my life, which isn't a great number at all for a fan, a real fan, as people say. But I have seen them play a lot more than that because my dad, as I said, is an Aston Villa fan, so they're always easy to get tickets. So I used to go there to watch it and sit in the away crowd. So yeah, I did see them quite a bit, but it was more just obviously under Fergie watching a free-flowing attacking football. It was great to watch. It's not quite the same these days, but I don't think it's necessarily because Alex Ferguson left and the free-flowing football stopped that I stopped supporting them, although I admit there's probably partially that. It's more to do with a couple of other things, really. Fantasy football, I just always never really had any allegiance, so I think that helped me. A lot of people you'll see... I'm talking about in your mini leagues and stuff more than, you know, on Fantasy Football Scout and that. We'll hold big allegiances. You know, they'll literally pick 3 players from their team and no one from their opposition. It's quite funny, really. So I think that did actually help me fantasy-wise amongst my friends group anyway in the early day stages. But it's more just like, I don't know, my appreciation and love for football was greater than my appreciation and love for my team. Which is a strange thing to many people. I think I could notice it more often than not when you're in the pub or you're just in a group of mates or whatever, or even at a game when you've got like all the fans just slagging each other off, like the banter between them and how they are basically saying the other team's players are rubbish. And I'm sitting there thinking, do you really think that? You know, do you really think that Suarez is rubbish? Because for me, you know, I just want to appreciate the great things he does and, you know, really want to talk to teams or people who support teams opposite to me and how great their players are is strange for some people. I think you're a bit of a weirdo, but yeah, I guess that's how it sort of progressed really from moving away from just supporting a team and just loving football in general, really. And yeah, that kind of moves me nicely on, I guess, to having to talk about some of my favorite players in the league and, no surprise that none of them are a Man United player. Certainly not at the moment. So yeah, I think some of these are some of the best players in the league. One in particular, I think, is the best player in the league, which is my opinion. You know, a lot of you won't agree with that, but I'll try and explain some rationale around that and why I think it. So, yeah, let's get through some of these players then. First up, my favourite player in the league to watch. Doesn't necessarily mean he's the best, but he's certainly my favourite. And that's David Silva. David Silva. Don't know why I tried that. Don't do that again, Luke. He's a joy to watch, as everyone says. And yeah, I agree. I absolutely love watching David Silva play. I think he's amazing. I think he does pretty much the perfect thing you could do with the ball, given the situation he's in every single time. And it's just a gift. I guess it's not just touch and his ability to pass and move. It's, you know, at its core, I guess it's decision-making. He just makes excellent decisions. And yeah, he's just absolutely fantastic. He's just effortless. And the best players nearly always are effortless, it seems. They've just got something about them. And I guess for me, it's kind of so opposite to what I was like as a footballer. Maybe that's why it attracts me. Because I was basically just all pace. My fastest time of the 100 metres is like 11 and a half seconds when I was younger. There's no way near that now. I just want to put that out there. But yeah, I was just extremely fast. I had a few tricks, but it's mainly the speed. But yeah, I couldn't really do much else. Couldn't do the intricate passing. Could barely finish, really. Passing wasn't great. I'm basically Traore from Wolves, you know, without the power. So, yeah, just really fast. Off the blocks, especially, which is more important in football, I guess, to have the fast pace over a short distance. And I'd say that's probably why I like Silva so much, because he's like the total opposite. Doesn't really have any pace yet. You know, he can do things that I could only dream of. And yeah, I think it's kind of strange that Silva has never really gone back to Spain, because, you know, the best players usually do go to Spain, Real Madrid or Barcelona. But, you know, thinking about it, there are other factors here in play, I'm sure. You know, the fact that the stuff that happened with his kid recently and how he's going back there all the time, it did make me think, is he going to go back there? But I guess there's just not really been a need for Silva in Spain. Maybe they've got players just as good, which breaks my heart to think. But, you know, I like to think Silva's special. I guess he is. I don't know. But over there, they don't seem to think he is. But then I guess they had Iniesta and other people like that over there at the time when he would have got him. And he kind of played a number 10, although he's not playing it that much this season, which seems to have died out in football. It seems to be more 4-3-3s or variations of it. Number 10 seems to have vanished. So I guess, yeah, maybe that's why. But I also think maybe people like more goals for their number 10. Although he's stepped up now to do that. Have you guys always found that strange, by the way? I certainly have, that a player who's got the technique that Silva has, the ability that he has, you know, to put a pass wherever he wants virtually, couldn't really finish on goal. You know, you get an opportunity and you think, well, we're just going to caress that into the top corner because he's got the ability to, no doubt. But then you often wouldn't. And it just always baffled me that players like that don't have that finishing sometimes. He certainly stepped it up this season, and in recent seasons, really. So maybe it's coming. But, you know, just a side quirk. Often found it strange that finishing just seems to be so different. Yeah, you've got some players who seem to have absolutely no finesse about them. I'm looking at you, Glenn Murray. But they've just got this knack of finishing. And I guess it's just a totally separate thing. And that's why it is. But yeah, David Silva, that's the first on my list. My favourite of all to watch. And yeah, I'm going to move on to another one of his colleagues in Kevin De Bruyne. Man, am I gutted that De Bruyne's injured. Again, being a Man United fan, it's probably a strange thing to hear us say, but I love watching the best players, and he is definitely one of those. He may even be the best in the league. He's certainly a close second. He's not been playing. He's had a couple of knee injuries. I hope he comes back to the same player. I don't see why he wouldn't. But absolute joy to watch, and it's his directness. It's just how how direct, how powerful his passes, his shots are, his driving runs that make him really fun to watch. He's pretty much got it all. He really reminds me of Steven Gerrard when Gerrard was in his heyday. The drive, the ability to drive from midfield, you know, the long, Gerrard had the long balls like he did. He definitely had the whip crosses. Definitely had the driven shots as well. I think there's quite a few similarities. I think De Bruyne's better in close spaces and intricate play than Gerrard was. Gerrard's probably got the edge in terms of driving late into the box, etc., scoring goals. But then I guess his positions come into that as well. Don't get me wrong, Gerrard's achieved a hell of a lot in his career. I'm not really comparing them necessarily in terms of who's a better player. I'm just saying that De Bruyne has similarities to him for me. And that can never be a bad thing, because it was great watching Gerrard growing up as well. Despite being a Man United fan and hating him several times, he was still incredible to watch. So yeah, I hope De Bruyne comes back soon. I hope for fantasy he comes back soon, because hopefully he'll be fresh and fit. City have been using largely the same kind of players, despite having a lot of talent in their squad. You often look at their team and it's the bench is full of kids, and they're playing like they did this week in midweek, pretty much the same team they played at the weekend, and it might be again today. Obviously not seeing the lineups yet, but there's going to be a lot of tired players out there because they play with high intensity. And De Bruyne's probably, you know, once he gets up to match fitness, he's going to be fresher than most. And I think he'll be coming into my teams in Sky and FPL as soon as it's possible. Because not only do I just love having him in the team, but yeah, I think he's just going to get better and better. And the goals and assists are going to start flowing back. And hopefully he'll play the vast majority like he did before, especially as he'll be one of the fittest players. So yeah, I think that's pretty much all there is to say on De Bruyne. Fantastic. Love him. Can't wait to see him back. The next person I want to talk about is Mesut Ozil, which may surprise quite a lot of you who have followed me for a while, because I've been quite critical of him in the past. But it doesn't mean I don't think he's great. And that criticism comes from, I guess, my love from him. So let me explain a little bit about that. Ozil was definitely my favourite player to watch once upon a time. You know, his times in the World Cup, the Euros with Germany, definitely. Werder Bremen at the time, and then on to Real Madrid. Just an amazing player. Again, similar to Silva, really. Effortless to watch. Probably lose the ball more often maybe than Silva would. But would find passes that I don't think even Silva could find. So a little bit more direct with his through ball sometimes, but they, you know, don't get me wrong, they'd still often find the target. It's just a fantastic player to watch, but it's just he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it enough. You know, it's definitely still in him. I mean, was it Leicester? I might be wrong in that, but his recent performance he did, where he was clearly man of the match. You know, he was just on another level, and that's in Ozil at all times. We don't see it enough. But I think it could be down to loads of different things why we don't see that enough. You know, you can sit here and say work rate and, you know, not played in his right position and not happy. A lot of people say, especially here pundits, he's a confidence player. He needs a little bit of love from the manager and that sort of thing. I think that's too simplistic. You know, I mean, confidence 100%. That's a thing in football. I don't doubt that for a second. But to say he needs love or not everyone really needs that. And I think they're just being very simplistic. He might just be really, really human. You know, he's just maybe doesn't really enjoy football anymore. I don't know. It's a strange thing to say, right? But hear me out. So the whole not things not being right or needing love, I mean, I'm going to put it down to what I do more than I should, and that's gaming. So I'll jump on Call of Duty, right? And sometimes I'll be great, sometimes I'll be rubbish. And when I'm rubbish, there's all sorts of reasons why. You know, there's lag. The other team's using broken guns. My control pad's not the same one I was using yesterday, so the thumbsticks are a bit different. I've got distractions in the room, like my daughter jumping on my lap. My teammates are rubbish, yada, yada, yada. And sometimes you just need all of those things or whatever those factors are to just line up perfectly, and then you can be a god. And I'm hitting nuclear gameplays. And I think Ozil might be a bit like that. I think he needs everything to be just right. And that's not necessarily love. He just maybe needs the formation to be right. Maybe he needs a combination of all sorts of things. And this is just speculation, because obviously none of us know. You know, you see a load of stuff in the tabloids and stuff like that. But I don't think anyone can ever say they really know. He may not even know. And the other thing that makes me think maybe he just doesn't really like football that much. And it's really strange for us to sort of factor that in, that he's a human and he might not like his job, right? But how many people do like their job? You know, we think it's strange because you get paid all that money and you're doing what most of us dream of, playing football. But when you've done that your whole life and the money's not really a thing anymore, does it just revert back to type? Do a lot of people just not enjoy their job? You know, the training every day. You can sound like boohoo sob story, but I think it's hard to stay in your peak physical fitness all the time, you know, to be on a leash when it comes to the media and stuff and live a private life. I think it is a hard job, in my opinion. I mean, I'm terrible. I don't go to the gym at all. So if you told me I had to literally stay in the peak fitness all the time, yeah, I would do it for that money. Don't get me wrong. But some people, they might just get bored of it. They might not like it. And that kind of strikes me with Ozil, that might be the case. I mean, Esso Okoto once came out, I think, and said he hates football. He was only doing it to get the money. I think he's one of the only honest players I've heard say that. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of people who don't enjoy it quite as much as, you know, others do. There's some people who don't even, you know, probably put their full attention, effort into it. I mean, who goes into work every day and goes, right, I'm giving 100% today. I want to be the best I can at, you know, making this spreadsheet or doing whatever you do. I'm going to absolutely smash it out of the park. You know, we expect that of footballers and the money they're getting. We kind of just expect it. But I think people would be lying to themselves if they did that in their own jobs. And some people are on great money. You know, most people just want to coast in life and don't want to put too much effort in. And maybe when you're Ozil, when you were right at the top and you were putting effort and it was great, you know, and now he's still getting the money, he's still playing. Maybe he doesn't really feel the need to do that. I mean, this is another example. It's not necessarily in the case of Ozil, but imagine as well, people are saying you come to training to get, you know, to become the best in the world, to put as much effort as you can. You can be great. You can do that. And imagine some managers saying that to players, and they're in their squad and they'll have a look across at Kevin De Bruyne and they think, you know, why am I bothering? This guy's just on another planet. You know, so I don't think all the players will sit there and think they can be the best or they can put all their effort in and do that. They'll be disheartened by that and just sort of do what's needed. Now, I don't think that's the case with Ozil, because I think he is top echelon, but that's just another factor. I think these players are human. And I think it's a lot more complicated than they just need love. But whatever it is with Ozil, I really hope it works out for him. Because yeah, I have been critical, because I've just wanted to see the best of him. I've wanted to see what he can do in this league, and I have seen it, just too few and far between. Now on paper, him in a number 10 position with Aubameyang, probably one of the best movers for a centre forward. His movement's insane. It's really, really good. Obviously lightning quick and finishing, you'd think it's a match made in heaven. So I really do hope that works out for him. Yeah, not much else to say about Ozil. So I'll move on to the best player in the league, in my opinion. And remember, this is just my opinion. I could be wrong. Certainly, I've been in before. But for me, that is a certain Eden Hazard. I think De Bruyne is a very close second at this point. But it's hard to factor that in because he's been injured of late. So yeah, why Hazard? Because his goals and assists aren't great. But I think he has some of the most important attributes to have in modern footballers and the best footballers. And that's why Madrid are sniffing around him. So, yeah, what are they? So, yeah, I think Hazard is the best ball-carrying player, you know, possibly in world football. I think the World Cup highlighted that to a lot of other people. His performances there were amazing. But yeah, his ability to get that ball from any position and at lightning pace, carry it the whole length of the field, bring his whole team up, you know, cause absolute panic in the opposing defence. And here's the bit where he differs from most. Retained possession. I think it's very rare that you see Hazard lose the ball or get tackled, which is incredibly strange for that kind of player. You know, a player who is one of the best in the world one-on-one against another defender. Now, there are a lot of players who are good one-on-one. I think Hazard's probably one of the best, if not the best. But he also just doesn't lose the ball. It's insane. I mean, there's other players like Zaha and Martial, for example. And Zaha, I think, shares a lot of attributes with Hazard. And it's probably why I rate him so highly. And I think that he'll be going for massive money because he also has the ability to carry the ball and beat a player, which is so rare in football, that X factor. But even with them, you know, Zaha and Martial, they'll lose the ball, you know, quite a lot. And Hazard just doesn't lose it anywhere near that. I mean, I don't have stats to back this up. It's just from watching. But that's what I feel like, you know. And it's just so key. It was shown in the World Cup how important it was. And I think that in combination with the fact that you basically have to double up on the guy, you just can't leave him one-on-one. So straight away, the opposing team's having to do all sorts just for that one player in your team, you know. And when you're a top team, you've probably got numerous players they have to worry about, and it causes all sorts of issues. But the other thing is, he just, you know, he won't lose the ball, but he'll probably end up getting fouled, which is quite topical at the moment, right? Because he's constantly getting injured and kicked. But it's pretty much the only way to stop the guy. But set pieces are, you know, amazing. They are the way that a lot of games are won, and it's not just for the lesser teams, like a lot of pundits make things, the top teams as well. I mean, you basically, if you win a free kick right up the pitch, you know, you're basically giving a guy who's probably on close to £200,000 a week, who spent most of the week trying to smash the ball in the top corner from a free kick, a chance to smash the ball in the top corner from a free kick, which is a great chance for a goal. Because if you catch it right, the keeper's got no chance most of the time. And, you know, sometimes some free kicks for some players in some positions are not far off of a penalty. You know, they can be that good and that useful. And if not, if it's just in and around the area, you're basically, again, giving the chance for someone to put the ball on a sixpence like they can and give someone the chance of a header or, a shot close to the goal, which is one of the hardest things to manufacture in football. You're basically saying, here's a free chance. And Hazard will win you numerous of those a game. So I think he's just a manager's dream, really, for a top team. You know, that combination of being able to beat people for fun, to carry the ball forward, great decision making, and ultimately just not lose possession. You know, he rarely loses it. And then he's got the free kicks on top to add to it, or the winning of free kicks, which is insane. And now I know possession isn't everything in football. There's been teams that have won with less possession. You know, Leicester, for example, strike me as a good example. But that's the rarity, right? You don't see Leicester winning the league all the time. I think generally, if you go back through all the leagues from the, you know, the top leagues around the world, and you look at who's won the league, I'd be very surprised if they're not at the top or the top three for possession stats over the season, there or thereabouts. And yeah, I know you can score the goals without having possession. I'm not talking possession for no reason, but possession in advanced areas has probably got a close link to the team winning. And Hazard is probably one of the best players in the world at keeping you possession high up the pitch and getting you possession high up the pitch. So, yeah, that's why I think he's the best player in the league. He does things that probably no one else can do. I think De Bruyne's got a chance of coming close or maybe even bettering, but I don't think Hazard will be in the league for long. I think Madrid will take him. And, you know, the top teams often take the top players from our league. And why wouldn't you go there? So I'll be extremely sad when it probably does happen. I hope it doesn't. But yeah, that's why I think Hazard's the best player in the league. That's why, you know, a lot of this doesn't really translate to fantasy football at the moment. So a lot of these players have been good in fantasy football. I mean, David Silva's great now, has been pretty much great throughout, if not wonderful. De Bruyne's pretty much been great since he came. Ozil's, I mean, he had that one fantastic season. I think 19 assists or whatever it was, not been great. And Hazard's up and down, but I think now under the offensive manager, Which is another factor, by the way. I think Hazard's been hampered a little bit, you could argue, and why his output hasn't been that great, because a lot of his time has been spent under defensive managers. I know Jose wasn't necessarily defensive when he first came, really, but overall, you've got to say he's pretty defensive as a manager. Then you've got Conte, you know, even Gus Hiddink, even Di Matteo. I know he's not necessarily defensive, but I think he's just not great full stop. Although his time as Chelsea was quite good, actually. But yeah, I mean, playing wing-backs for Belgium and stuff with him seems a bit crazy. I just think he has been hampered a little bit by not having, you know, an offensive manager to back his talent, and often not having a good striker next to him. You know, it's really highlighted at the moment. I don't think Chelsea have ever really replaced Drogba. I think he's probably the last really good forward. Maybe I'm missing some out. I mean, they've had, like, good players, don't get me wrong, but you know, they've not really had anyone, I think, that has kind of stuck to that role and done really well for a long time. They had players like Torres, Shevchenko, even Crespo, like players that have come in and been okay or done various things. But I think since Drogba, they've had a job replacing someone up there. And I just think Hazard alongside a really good centre-forward would work. But anyway, I've got sidetracked a little bit on that. I'm just, again, defending Hazard, I guess. When it comes to fantasy, I'll be keeping him because I love him. I think he's a great player. I think that nothing's really changed. You know, the last month, he's not been great output-wise. He's had injuries. It's been a bit of bad luck. But come the end of the season, I think Hazard will be up there again. I think he nearly always is. And I think this time he's got a better chance than most of being right up there. Now, that isn't to say that he's a better option than the City players. I could, you know, I fully understand why anyone would go for the cheaper and, you know, more point potential than some of the City players right now. But I think when Hazard's fit and playing again, yeah, he's fantastic. And I guess it's just that because he's the star in their team, because he gets, you know, max bonus points in FPL just for gracing the field pretty much, as long as he does something. And the Sky especially, I think he's been the top man of the match award winner. I'd have to look through my records, and I have got it for definite somewhere, but I want to say 4 out of the 6 seasons or something like that. He's been the top or joint top for man of the match. So yeah, bonus points in both games. And I love that, really. I love the fact that my player can do just, you know, one assist, one goal, but come away with a big haul. And with Hazard, I think he's going to get hat-tricks this season. He just needs to get a penalty and a brace. It sounds easy, right? But I think it's going to happen. And that's why I'm going to keep him. But yeah, it wasn't really fantasy related, this one. General ramblings again. Nothing's really happened in the world of fantasy. Good luck today, guys, no matter what happens. And yeah, hopefully I'll get another one of these out after the weekend's action that will be more related to fantasy, I guess. We'll see what happens. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Please share it around if you can, and let me know feedback, good or bad. Do you like me just rambling on about my random thoughts, or would you like to see it more fantasy-orientated? Let me know. See you later, guys.